I have a confession to make. I'm feeling scared right now. I'll tell you why in 60 seconds. I'm Keith MacArthur, and this is My Instruction Manual. Thanks for joining me on this journey. My Instruction Manual is a place where together we can learn how to be happier and healthier, have amazing relationships, and achieve our biggest goals and wildest dreams. In this episode, we can be cruel to ourselves. Fitness guru Kathleen Trotter teaches how to be kind when we self-talk.
If you could harness all that self-talk for good versus evil, how amazingly strong, you know, would you be? How resilient, how capable?
Joelle Anderson explains what mindful eating is all about. And I share an update on my resolutions and why I'm feeling scared. Thanks for joining me this week. I've got what I think is going to be a pretty good show. We're going to hear from two of our regular contributors. Joelle Anderson is going to join us to talk about mindful eating and what that means. And Kathleen Trotter is joining us to talk about self-talk and the importance of turning that negative self-talk in our heads into positive self-talk. And I mentioned at the start of the podcast that I'm feeling scared. And part of that relates to the self-talk that's going on in my own head. So I started this podcast about 8 months ago. And for the most part, what I've done is script everything. So not the interviews, the interviews that I do with people, you know, I read their books, I prepare, think of some of the things I want to ask them about and make notes. But even the intro to those is scripted. And most of the podcasts, my intros, my extras, my essays, when I've done those, have all been scripted, except for one time I tried kind of doing it off the cuff and speaking from notes. And that was hard for me, the time that I did that. It felt really uncomfortable. I ended up stopping and starting and re-recording. It's just something that doesn't come naturally to me. And I know that it's something that I can get over. One of the things that I've written about a lot on the blog is the importance of always remembering to keep growing, never believing that there's anything that you can't do. And so I think it's important to try things that aren't easy for me. I really believe in the importance of trying hard things. And I think that if I'm going to continue to grow and develop as a podcaster, I have to be able to do it without always having every word scripted out in detail. I know when I listen to podcasters who do that, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But when it's good, it really, really works. And it certainly sounds better than a podcaster who's, scripted everything out and you can tell that they're reading. So if you haven't figured it out already, that's what I'm doing today. Today, I am trying to talk to you at the start of this podcast without a script, just with some notes. So a few things that I wanted to update you on today. The first is my summer schedule. So I put out just a brief note on the podcast feed last week that over the summer, I'm going down to publishing episodes every 2 weeks. So we've got an episode today. There will not be an episode next week. And the reason that I'm doing this is because I'm really trying to dig down and focus on getting my resolutions book done. So I've mentioned it before on the podcast that my next book, and I'm going to talk about this more in a minute, is all about resolutions. And because I want to have it come out for what is sort of peak resolution season at the end of the year, I've set a goal for myself to try and finish writing the book by the beginning of August. And I also want to be able to spend some good quality time with my family over the summer. So in order to do those two things, I've decided to put the podcast to just every 2 weeks over the summer. So no episode next week, but I'll be back the week after with what should be a great interview with Dr. Brian Goldman. He's an emergency room doctor, and I'm talking to him about his latest book called The Power of Kindness. And basically, he is going around the world to learn about kindness and compassion and even to find it in himself. That's sort of the premise of the book. And so excited to talk to him about that. Speaking of these kinds of personal development and self-help books, the last full episode of the podcast that I did was all about summer reading. And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that each week I ask my featured guest a number of questions, 5 questions to uncover their own personal instruction manual. And one of the questions that I ask is for them to recommend a personal development book. So what I did in that last episode is I took all the recommendations and put together this really great curated list of 47 personal development, self-help, self-improvement books. Although, you know, some of the recommendations really veered far away from that. We've got novels, we've got biographies. So it's actually quite a really good list. So you can go back and listen to that on the podcast, or you can see the list or download a PDF of the list if you go to myinstructionmanual.com/summerbooks. And sticking on the topic of reading and self-improvement, personal development books, I've also started a self-help book club on Facebook. So we're gaining members gradually. We've got over 100 members now. And the group, there's my cell phone. I'm going to stop that and not even edit that out. So I was speaking about the self-help book club, which is on Facebook. So you can find it just by searching for Self-Help Book Club, My Instruction Manual. And each month we pick one personal development book or self-help book to read together and analyze. And the book for July is one of my favorites. It's by Brené Brown and it's The Gifts of Imperfection. So if you haven't joined the Self-Help Book Club, be sure to go find the group, join, and I'd love to see you there and talk about this book. Next thing I wanted to just mention is that next week is a pretty big deal for me because actually it starts this Friday. So you may know that my son Bryson, my younger son, who's 11 years old, has a rare genetic condition known as GRN1. So ever since he was born or actually when he was 2 or 3 weeks old, we knew that there was something different from him. He was our second child, so we could tell that he wasn't developing in a normal way. And as the years went on, it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to develop as a typical child. He's 11 years old now, but he can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. He can't talk. He can communicate a little bit by making choices, but you know, really has pretty high special needs. And about a year and a half ago, we finally got a diagnosis. So after all kinds of tests, MRIs, and a muscle biopsy, and probably dozens, literally dozens of blood work tests, we finally found out what it was and that Bryson has this rare genetic condition where within his genes, there's one that has a variance and that gene is GRN1. So it's one of the genes that is in the brain and it basically codes proteins in your neurons. So when there's a variance in the gene, it means that the brain doesn't have kind of memory and learning function the way that a typically developing GRN1 gene would. So when we got the diagnosis, one of the greatest things about it was that we were able to connect with people from all over the world who have this rare genetic disorder. And we meet together in a Facebook group, but we also meet together in person. So 2 years ago, we met in Colorado. Last year, we met together in Pittsburgh. And this year, we're all getting together in my hometown of Toronto. So my wife, Laura, and I, with help from our parents, are putting on this GRN1 meeting. So people are arriving from, I guess, pretty much, yeah, mostly from the US this Friday. And for a couple days, we're going to be spending it in Toronto. We've got a day of meetings planned where we've got researchers and doctors coming in to talk to us. We're going to a Toronto Blue Jays game on Sunday, the Blue Jays against the Yankees. And then we're going with the group to spend a couple days in Niagara Falls. So really excited to do that. These are some people who have become some really good friends, this new community that we've only just become part of. And there's also some new people joining us. So really looking forward to that and making some new friends. The other thing that's been keeping me really busy lately is my resolutions book. So I've talked about that on the podcast before, planning to release it in November. And I wanted to just talk a little bit today about what the book is. So essentially, what I'm doing is, if you've read my first book, or not my first book, it's actually my first personal development book. I guess it's my sixth book. Yeah, My sixth book was 18 Steps to Own Your Life, the first one in the personal development sphere. And one of the 18 steps is called Hack the Habit Loop. And this book kind of expands on that. It's about how to, it's about resolutions, but it's not focusing just on resolutions at New Year's. It's talking about, really about setting and achieving really big goals. So it talks about things like how to specifically set your goal. What are the right words that you need to put into your goal to be able to make it successful? How do you plan for your goal? It talks about the science of habits and how we can sort of hack the way that habits work in our bodies to become better at achieving our biggest goals and wildest dreams. It talks about willpower, and this is a pretty controversial but fascinating area of science. And so I really get into how willpower works, what it is and what it isn't, and how to kind of harness our willpower. And then I get into talking about our environment and how really the biggest way that we can achieve our goals is to change our environment so that we don't have to rely on our willpower. And so get into a number of tips on how to do that. And then also within the book, there's three other sections. So one is that I'm going to get really specific on how people can achieve resolutions in some specific areas. So there's a section that specific advice on if you're trying to lose weight with your resolution or with your big goal, here's what you need to do. If you're trying to quit smoking, here's some tips that'll help you out. If you're trying to learn how to, or if you're trying to get out of debt, here's some things that'll help. So there's the section that's got that really specific advice. I'm also talking to a number of people as part of the research for the book who have done exactly this. They've set some really big resolutions and achieved them. And so I'm including their stories in the book. And by the way, in the fall, after the book comes out in November and December, I'm planning to use a lot of these interviews that I've done for the book on the podcast. So for example, this week I talked to somebody who lost 220 pounds as part of his resolution. And so that's an amazing story. So I'm going to put that on the podcast. Talking next week to somebody who decided at age 40 that she wanted to enter a bikini competition. And we're going to talk about what she did to achieve that goal. Talked with people who have given up smoking. So including all of their profiles in the book, and then also going to put that content on the podcast because I think their stories are really inspiring and will help all of us to achieve our biggest goals and wildest dreams. The third other section is around my specific goals. So as part of my research for the resolutions book, I set three goals for myself. So one was to start putting sunblock on every day. As part of my kidney disease and the meds that I'm on now, I have to be really, really careful not to get too much sun because I'm much more susceptible to getting skin cancer. So one of my resolutions is to make sure that I put it on at least once a day, year round. The second one is about my writing and trying to make sure that I get all of the words of writing done on my book by August the 3rd. And then the third goal is around weight loss. So my goal, when I started the resolution, I was over 215 pounds. And I weighed myself last week, just before I wrote a blog post about with an update on this resolution. And my goal was to get my weight down to 205 pounds. And when I wrote this blog post with the update, my weight had fallen to 206.2. So needless to say, I was pretty excited and felt pretty confident that I was going to be able to, pretty quickly get to the 205 pounds. So I wrote an enthusiastic blog post about it. And I was sure in my mind that by the time I weighed myself the following Monday, I was going to have reached my goal. So stepped on the scale Monday morning, and instead of my weight going down to 205 pounds like I had expected, it was up to 208.2. So at first I kind of panicked, right? So I wondered, like, what do I need to do? Do I need to start cutting back on food more, exercising more to try and reach my goal? But then I remembered actually something that someone had told me in one of the interviews that I'm doing for this book. So I interviewed this guy named Brian Tao. He's actually someone that I know personally because he's someone that we've worked with a few times to do family portrait photography for my extended family with my sisters and my mom and my dad before he died. And so he's our photographer, but he's also been doing this weight loss program himself. And as part of his weight loss program, he measured everything in great detail. He weighed himself several times a day. And one of the things that he told me was that his weight, he noticed that his weight could fluctuate dramatically within a day, like it could go up or down 3 pounds. So when I remembered that, I just, you know, helped me to realize that I don't need to panic. Up until that morning, I'd felt like I was way ahead of schedule. And so I shouldn't feel like I was behind schedule. What I needed to do instead was just stick to the plan because the plan was working and not worry about these minor fluctuations. So still feeling good about being able to reach that goal in a month. So that's where I am with writing, with resolutions, and just some other things that I wanted to update you on. I'm going to share more details about the book in upcoming episodes and specifically get into a little bit about sort of the you know, beyond just the writing, what's the rest of the plan with marketing and so on. One other thing that I wanted to mention is that I am looking for beta readers for the book. So people who will kind of read the first draft at the same time as my editor is reading it and just provide feedback, you know, what works in the book, what doesn't work. And so I'd love volunteers for that. If you're interested in getting a copy of the book in August and reading it months before everybody else in exchange for agreeing to give some feedback, I would be so grateful. You can let me know by reaching out at keith@myinstructionmanual.com. I'm always excited to welcome back our fitness contributor, Kathleen Trotter, author of Finding Your Fit, A Compassionate Trainer's Guide to Making Fitness a Lifelong Habit. Kathleen, welcome back.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here talking about self-talk. And I know I'm always on the show and I'm always like, oh, this is my favorite topic. But honestly, this really is my favorite topic because knowing and doing when it comes to fitness are two so very different things. And most of us know what to do, but actually doing it, you know, we all know we should eat more vegetables and drink more water and, you know, move more, but that doesn't actually make yourself do it. And connecting the dots between the knowledge of what you should do and actually doing it is all about the self-talk. And, you know, we all spend so much time with ourselves in our own brain. And if you could harness all that self-talk for good versus evil, how amazingly strong, you know, would you be? How resilient, how capable? Whereas most of us are so cruel to ourselves. You know, we don't treat ourselves how we would our best friends. We're mean and belittling. And no wonder none of us wants to exercise because we just shame ourselves all the time. Whereas if you could say like, okay, I'm going to be my compassionate best friend. I'm going to help myself through self-talk. You can actually then connect the dots between knowing and doing.
So you talk a lot about your Kathleenisms. Is that part of the self-talk?
Absolutely. The Kathleenisms are basically my self-talk, but you know, going back to my book, it's finding your fit. So everyone's going to have to find their own version of those. But for me, the three that sort of work the best is that I'm only ever one workout away from a better mood. So whenever I don't want to work out, I just say, Kathleen, blah, 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 go work out. You will feel better after you've moved. The worse your mood, the more important the workout. And if you don't feel better, at least you'll be crabby and fit. And honestly, what am I, 35? So in 35 years, I've never had a workout and felt worse. In fact, if I'm having a fight with with my partner, James, he'll just be like, Kathleen, just go for a run. We'll talk about it later. And I always come back with a better perspective. One of the best things I ever did for myself was I kept a 2-week journal and I journaled on a scale of 1 to 10, my mood prior to exercise and then my mood post exercise. I'm a numbers person. So it's really helpful because I can go back and look at that journal and I can say, I literally every single time I worked out, my number was the same or much higher. And that's really motivating to me. And I think too many of us, we work out on the days that we feel the best, right? And then it's like, oh, I've had a bad day at work or I'm tired. And those are the days that we let ourselves off the hook, when those are the days you actually have to use your self-talk because they're the days you really need your workout. So that's the first one I use. The second self-talk I use is my future self will always be happier, which is similar. to the first one, but it's really putting myself in my future shoes. And I say, listen, I could sit on the sofa for the next 2 hours, but I would just be sitting here kicking myself, metaphorically, obviously, because I didn't do anything. I'm feeling crappy. Or I could make myself do something, even for 10 minutes, and then sit on the sofa. And then I'll actually thoroughly enjoy the relaxation time on the sofa. So it's quality versus quantity of time. And that sort of ties in with, I really use this idea of a 10 minute rule. So when I don't want to work out, I just say, Kathleen, you have to do something for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, if you want to stop, you can stop. But I never actually stop. I do the 10 minutes and then the 10 minutes,
yeah.
20 minutes and the 20 minutes. And then you're like, oh, I'm done. I feel amazing. It's that ignition energy to get going is always the hardest, right? But it's so much about self-talk, like everything, is having that growth mindset to learn. So as opposed to being cruel and mean to yourself and shaming yourself when you don't make the best decision, you know, you say, okay, self, like this was a C+ day, but what can I learn from this? How can I not make this exact same mistake next time? So let's say you have a cookie at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because you're really starving. Okay, well, did I do that because I didn't have a good enough lunch? Did I not have enough protein and healthy fats at lunch? Am I too tired? So, and then once you learn from that mistake, then you can the next time, you know, make a better choice. So it's, but that's all self-talk. People don't think about that as self-talk, but that growth mindset of how do I take this situation and make it a productive situation versus being cruel to myself and just making myself on a shame spiral into more bad choices. That's all self-talk.
And obviously for self-talk to work, I think one of the barriers for it to work is that sometimes people try to, you know, say things, affirmations or things to themselves, but they don't actually believe it. And one of the concepts around personal development that I'm really interested in right now is this idea that none of us actually know ourselves that well. Mm-hmm. And we learn about ourselves through our actions and especially our recent actions. So maybe the best way to think about how to, you know, talk to ourselves and motivate ourselves is to think of something recent that we've done to take care of ourselves. Because if we, you know, think of our behaviors, we think, you know, I'm the kind of person who went for a walk yesterday. I'm the kind of person who takes care of myself. And so that's the kind of thing that can motivate us to maybe, you know, do a longer or tougher workout today.
Yeah, I love that. It's harnessing the little wins to create more wins. I would also say that positive self-talk and that compassion and that growth mindset, you have to think of it like a muscle. So it has to get stronger. You know, if you want stronger biceps, you work your bicep. If you want to have better growth mindset, more compassion, better self-talk, you have to create it. So it's not that you wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm going to have perfect self-talk. Like I've been in therapy for like 20 years. I do so much work on myself and it's a pleasure. It's an honor to do that work on myself, but I still fight my negative self-talk every single day. And then I say, no, Kathleen, what's the evidence for that self-talk? No, you've never, you know, one of my self-talk is always like, oh my God, I've never going to be able to get through this day. It's too long a day. I'm too tired. And I just sort of say, well, Kathleen, when has that ever been true? Well, it's never been true.
Right.
Ridiculous. Right. So it's a little bit of creating the muscle. It's a little bit of what you said, harnessing the most recent positives that you've done. Little wins, creating more little wins. It's a little bit of setting the bar low enough that you can actually, the pass fail bar low enough that you can actually pass. And it's a little bit, I'm going to tweak what you said about learning about yourself. And I think it's a combination of learning about yourself, but it's also just about creating yourself. Every time you make a choice in life, whether it's a choice to not make a choice or a choice to make a choice, it's neuroplasticity happening in your brain, right? So if you decide to sit on the sofa and not do anything, that is actually you making a choice. And if you decide to get up and go for a walk, that's retraining your brain. So yeah, you're learning about yourself, but you're also creating. And the only way you create a fitter, future, healthier, happier self with positive self-talk is by being in this moment, right? Like you can't control the past and the only control you have on the future is the current. So who you are in this moment is who you're going to create.
Well said, as always. Kathleen, where can people follow and connect with you?
KathleenTrotter.com is my website and KTrotterFitness is Twitter and KathleenTrotterFitness is Instagram and then KathleenTrotter on Facebook. And I really do love hearing from people. So connect, ask me questions, and I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Still to come, you've probably heard of mindful eating, but what's it all about? Mindfulness contributor Joelle Anderson joins us. The best way to support this show is to pick up a copy of my book, 18 Steps to Own Your Life. You can get it on Amazon in ebook or paperback. It's time to welcome back our regular mindfulness contributor, Joelle Anderson. Joelle is a therapist who specializes in mindfulness-based techniques. She's also the creator and host of the Kernel of Wisdom YouTube channel, which features instructional videos and guided meditations by Joelle. Joelle, welcome back.
Thanks, Keith. Great to be here.
Joelle, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, I thought we'd talk about something I get questions on all the time, and that's mindful eating.
Okay, so what is that?
Yeah, so mindful eating means eating in a way that's different from how we typically eat. When we typically eat, especially these days, we're eating at our desk, we're eating in front of the TV, we're eating without really paying attention to our eating. And so mindful eating means really immersing your senses in the experience of eating. It means taking moments before you actually put the food in your mouth to even look at it, to notice the smell of it, to notice the feeling of either the utensil or the food itself against your fingers. Means tuning in to the body's responses to wanting that food, to actually paying attention to whether you want that food or not. Where is your hunger coming from? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it both? It means paying attention to both the internal and external experience of eating, even before you're putting the food in your mouth. And then once you put the food in your mouth, really noticing the taste, really paying attention to aspects you both like and dislike about it, and really paying more immersive attention to the experience overall.
So that sounds like a lot. Where do you start?
Yeah, so I usually recommend people start with just even one bite. So you can even sit down and do this as a really intentional practice by taking one morsel of food. So like a nut or a raisin or a single
piece
of food.
I've done it before with a grape.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be good to challenge yourself to do it even with something you like, and maybe try it with something you don't tend to like so much. Because we tend to be really polarized about our likes and dislikes without really thinking about why or the different experiences that may be positive within our dislikes or negative within our likes. So taking a single piece of food and really practicing by like going through each of the senses, so really looking at it, and maybe even if it feels silly, holding it to your ear and seeing if you can hear anything, even if you move it around, feeling it with your fingers, like trying to hold it just under your nose and really smelling it, noticing the feeling of anticipation as you hold it against your lips, that kind of thing. And then as you put it in your mouth, allowing yourself to move the food around your mouth to notice in different places on your tongue, the different taste buds. Are there places it feels good? Do you like the texture in your mouth? Do you like the taste in your mouth? For some people who have an emotionally charged relationship with food, that can feel almost triggering. But it does also, even in those triggering instances, give us more information about how we relate to food. So even if it's triggering, can you notice why it's triggering? Can you notice wanting to move away from the food, the feelings of the food feeling powerful over you? And can you sit with that and see if it passes so that you can come back to the food just being food?
So there's also research that sort of talks about how, you know, talks about the health benefits of eating meals with other people and, you know, sitting down and having a conversation with a meal. But this feels like more of a solitary exercise. So how do you kind of balance those two?
Yeah. So I'd say it's really hard to eat every meal and the entire meal mindfully. I'd say, especially if you've had a challenged relationship with food, immersing yourself in the conversation that's present during mealtime is super, super valuable. And I really agree with that research. That doesn't mean you can't take the first few moments to prime yourself for that meal by actually immersing in the food experience and what you're seeing, what you're liking and disliking itself. So you almost like kind of tap in back and forth, like have a few moments to really immerse in the experiencing of the food and then come back to the conversation. The issue being that a lot of people will use
the conversation to really distract themselves from food, especially if food is an anxious and eating is an anxious experience for them. So that's okay. There's no reason not to use the conversation to regulate and distract you from some of those emotions. But you don't want to be completely unconscious of what you're doing, because that's where later on people feel guilty for overeating or undereating or for having that thing because they were doing it mindlessly. So having moments to both check in with yourself and your experience and come back to the conversation can be very valuable.
Thanks so much, Joelle. Where can people follow and connect with you?
Yeah, so people can learn more about me on my website, kernelofwisdom.com, or by finding some of my meditations and instructional videos on YouTube by searching Kernel of Wisdom on YouTube.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
So that's episode 37. Thanks to Joelle Anderson and Kathleen Trotter. If you like this show, the best way you can support it is to buy a copy of 18 Steps to Own Your Life on Amazon. If you've already done that, please leave a review. If you've already done both, I'm so grateful to have you in my life. Thank you. Quick reminder that the My Instruction Manual podcast is on its summer schedule, with episodes coming out every 2 weeks. Our next episode on July 16th includes a featured interview with Dr. Brian Goldman, an emergency room doctor and author of The Power of Kindness. Thanks for listening. Now go make today a great day. New episodes of My Instruction Manual are released every Monday. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else great podcasts are found. You'll find complete show notes on every episode at myinstructionmanual.com. That's also where you can find more content about how to be a better you and download some great free resources. If you know someone else who needs a guidebook for life, please let them know about My Instruction Manual. And I'd be so grateful if you took a minute to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You can reach me at keith@myinstructionmanual.com. You can also reach out on Twitter, where I'm at Keith MacArthur. And you can find My Instruction Manual on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube.